Yeah, I want to thank everyone for this opportunity to come here and share what the Lord's done in my life. If you want to turn with me to a wee verse that means a lot to me, it just sums up my testimony. It's Ezekiel 34, verse 16. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And my name's Carlin, and I was brought up in a Christian home where both my parents were saved. I have one sister, Joanne, and a brother, Jonathan. And we were sent along to Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church to Sunday school, children's meetings, Bible class, youth fellowship, anything that was going, we were sent along to. And it was at these meetings that I was taught that I needed to ask the Lord into my heart to get to heaven, or I would be in hell if I died. I cannot remember what age I got saved at, but I do remember it was in the back of my mum's car. I went through primary school and high school, and I suppose I never really grew much with God. I just drifted along, but my friends would have known I was a Christian. I thank God for my faithful Christian parents, and I thank the Lord that as I grew up, we were taught the ways of the Lord, and we had happy times growing up. It was in the summer months that I was sent to faith mission camps, and it was at these camps I made very good friends. These camps were blessed times of fellowship and did help me grow close to the Lord in the weeks that I was there. But in my teenage years, I began to drift further and further away from the Lord. And to my shame, I began to go into nightclubs in a local town near where I lived. And I stopped going to youth fellowship on a Friday night. And I would say to any young person here to be very careful of your company. And never let your company bring you to places that you know that aren't right in God's eyes, because the devil will use your company to bring you places you shouldn't go. And my company wasn't bad company as such. We had all been brought up in Christian homes. And the first person that I actually went to a nightclub with was from my own youth fellowship. And this became a regular occurrence, and I'd stopped going, as I said, to youth fellowship on a Friday night, and I would have been found to my shame in the nightclubs instead. And Ruth and Diane, my friends at the time, were both saved when they were young, and they're very good Christian parents as well. And Ruth's dad's actually a preacher, and many souls have been saved through his preaching. So this just lets you see the upbringing each of us had. And it then started that it was every weekend, every Friday and Saturday night, I was found in the nightclubs. And of course, on Sundays, I was found in church meetings. And to my shame, I was living two lives. And I used to pray when I was in the nightclubs that God would bring me safely home, as I didn't want to shame my parents if something had happened. But what I was doing was shaming God, and I knew in my heart it wasn't right. It says in Matthew 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." It also says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" It was in 2007 that I began to get tired of the things of the world. And I went to a tent mission that was being held in Rich Hill, near where I lived. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and I came back to him. And I would say to people here, there is pleasure in the world, but it does only last for a season. And it wasn't easy coming back to the Lord, but it was the best decision that I'd ever made. And I became closer to God, and I prayed that God would bring Christian friends back into my life. And he did. I started going to youth rallies again and began to do outreach at the nightclubs near my hometown. And this wasn't easy, as a lot of people I used to go to the nightclubs with were coming out. And I'm sure they wondered what I was doing standing there, giving out tracts. But I thank the Lord for his strength. And he can use the little we do to be a witness for him. And they could see there was a change in my life. In January 2008, my friend Diane rang me to tell me she had cancer. And I just couldn't believe it. And I remember I didn't know what to say to her, and all I could do was pray. And this was very hard for me because we were so close, and I just didn't know what to say. All I could do was leave it with the Lord. On the 31st of March 2009, my friend Diane was took home to be with the Lord. And this was very hard to understand, a girl so young and beautiful. And Diane had a gorgeous smile and personality. But in my heart, I knew she was in heaven and that I will see her someday. Of many treasured memories and the times we had growing up, which I will never forget. And this made me realise on how short life is, and we do not know what lies ahead. Just 2 months later, in June 2009, Jonathan Wedlock, my boyfriend at the time, fell through a roof 15 foot. And I remember getting the phone call that Jonathan was unconscious and on his way to hospital with very serious head injuries. This again was a very hard time in my life and wakened me up on how life can change so suddenly and how accidents can happen. Most of all, this time drew me closer to the Lord than I have ever been, and it made me see the power of prayer and what the Lord can do. And I remember going to the hospital and seeing him laying there lifeless, and I didn't realise how serious he was, and I thought to myself that he'd be waking up the next day talking. But that wasn't to be, and I remember reading my Bible in the midst of all the shock, and this is what it said. One step at a time, and it said 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I knew this was all in God's hands, whatever was to happen. Jonathan did deteriorate, and he had to be rushed to theatre to get the two bones removed from his head to stop the swelling. I will never forget the doctor saying survival is number one before they could think of what brain damage he had. And this was a life-saving operation. 4.5 weeks later, Jonathan did wake up, and he had to learn to walk and talk again. But I thank God for what he had done and how he had answered prayer. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." Verse 10 really spoke to me, and I knew that this was in God's hands, and he will strengthen and settle me and give me the patience and his family the strength to get through. In 2010, the relationship ended, and this again was a very hard time in my life. I just couldn't understand why. I was heartbroken, traumatised of all I had come through, and wondered why this had all happened to be left what I thought was nothing. And I began to worry for the next few years constantly, and that worry took over my life. I began thinking I was going to be left on the shelf, as they say at home, and I was vomiting every day with my nerves and crying. And I was working, and I was coming home from work, and I was just crying and just going to work and doing my job, and you would think there was nothing wrong. And I felt so alone, even though I had my family and friends, and most of all the Lord. This time was probably one of the most lowest parts of my life, but it was during this time that I grew a closeness with the Lord that sometimes I long for again. I thank the Lord that he gave me the strength to leave all my burdens with him, and the big thing I had to do was trust. One of the most difficult things I struggle with. And I doubted the Lord, even though he has been with me all the way. My granny was a great help to me at this time, even though my granda had just been called home to be with the Lord. My granny always lifted me up. She always said it is a sin to worry and that God will work it all out. Even though I knew all this, worry had taken over and I'd had to learn to trust God myself. And I remember reading this on worry, and it was just the way it had taken over my life, and I just want to share it with you all. Worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. Worrying is not good for you. Worrying is destructive to us in many ways. It becomes a mental burden that can even cause us to grow physically sick. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Worrying is the opposite of trusting God. The energy that we spend worrying can be put to much better use in prayer. And here's a little formula to remember. Worry replaced by prayer equals trust. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, that which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Worrying puts your focus in the wrong direction. And when we keep our eyes focused on God, we remember his love for us and we realise that we truly have nothing to worry about. God has a wonderful plan for our lives, and part of that plan includes taking care of us, even in the difficult times. When it seems like God doesn't care, we can put our trust in the Lord and focus on his kingdom, and God will take care of our every need. And I remember at that time also being given a series of CDs on God's vessels. These really spoke to me on how the Lord breaks a vessel down and strips them of everything to mold them into working vessels for the Lord. And this really was a picture of my life. Job 23:10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In 2012, the Lord changed my life again, and he brought Luke into my life. And this was at a time that the Lord knew I was ready. I did say no to Luke first time he asked me out, but he did come back a month later and asked me again, and I said yes. At many blessings in summer 2012, the Lord gave me an opportunity to serve him at the London Olympics, and this was a very busy 2 weeks, but was a blessed time of fellowship. Luke and I got engaged in March 2013 and married in October of the same year, and little Phoebe was born the following year on the 9th of November 2014. This was all the Lord's timing and plan, and God has moulded me for the wife that I'm meant to be for Luke. If he had met me those years ago, I wouldn't have been the right girl for him. I am not perfect, but the Lord makes no mistakes. There will be many trials on our way to heaven, not to harm us, but to make us strong. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And in Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." I would never have thought that we would have been placed here in Australia for this short time to serve the Lord. But little is much when God is in it. It has been a blessed time of friendship and encouragement, and I thank God he opened this door and we followed through. You all have become very special in different ways, and I pray God will continue to bless you all as a congregation and in your own homes. I would ask you to pray for us, as we do not know what lies ahead for us, but I pray the Lord will use us both to serve him with all the strength the Lord gives. As I finish, I thank God so much for all he has done and for answering prayer. I have learned that we can never pray too much. If our prayers are honest and sincere, we just have to wait on the Lord. Philippians 4:11 says, "Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learnt, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." If anyone here is discouraged, remember that God is listening carefully to every prayer and answering each prayer in order to give you his best. In times of suffering, we sometimes wish we knew the future, or we wish we could understand the reason for our anguish. Jesus knew what lay ahead of him, and he knew the reason. Even so, his struggle was intense and more wrenching than any struggle we will ever have to face. But what does it take to say, "Thy will be done"? It takes trust in God's plans, prayer, and obedience each step of the way. If anyone here is unsaved, I pray you will let the Lord into your heart. He's the best friend you will ever have. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And he will never bring you through anything you cannot handle. It's all to make us strong and to give us the joy of the Lord in our hearts. For those of us that are saved, I pray that you will stay close to the Lord and serve him with your all. He can use each one of us to reach lost souls. We will have many trials, and we do not know what a day brings forth, but it's only what's done for Christ that will last. And this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Psalm 116, verse 6 just sums up my testimony. "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. I feel the Lord many times, but I pray that this year Each year that the Lord gives me, that I pray I will be used for his glory and not mine. Amen.